On Friday, we're going to see a more physically fit Ronald McDonald. The fast food mascot will appear in a McDonald's commercial with a new and buffer physique, a new hip sweatsuit, and a skateboard. The makeover comes as McDonald's looks to promote a more health-conscious image, and this is hardly the first time a popular brand mascot has gotten a makeover. Last year, we met a more sensitive, brawny man. In 2002, the cute and pudgy Michelin Man became a Shaq-sized beefcake. Aunt Jemima, Tony the Tiger, and Betty Crocker have all changed over the years. What brand mascot would you change, or who would you have kept the same? Join the conversation. Give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, or send us an email. TOTN@NPR.org. Again, TOTN@NPR.org. Joining us now is Jim Hardison, creative director at Character LLC, a brand character development firm, and he's with us from his office in Portland, Oregon. Nice to have you on the program.
Thanks very much.
So why do companies make over their mascots? They spent, in some cases, decades promoting this image.
There are a bunch of different reasons. I think the traditionally the main three, to increase the relevance of the character. They're always really worried that that the character is no longer relevant to the audience because people's activities and lifestyles change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason that you'll see Tony the Tiger get on a skateboard or Snap, Crackle, and Pop start rapping. They're trying to reflect who the audience is. In addition to that, sometimes they'll change a character to signal a change in the brand strategy. So they're going to come out with a new slogan or a new approach to their product, or they're even just going to change who they're aiming their product at. So, for example, they're no longer aiming at little children. Now they're going to aim at slightly older kids. They need to alter the character in order to appeal. And then I think the last of the traditional reasons is to respond to or generate news. So there's been some...
Oh, to get me to talk about it.
Yeah. Basically, since most advertising is an inflicted media, I think there's kind of almost a neurosis. They feel they need to justify that they're interrupting your show. And so that's where the whole new and improved thing, new and improved has almost lost its value because they've so abused it. But you can change a character and that can generate news. And here we are talking about Ronald.
There you go. And I do love that phrase, inflicted media. I haven't heard that before. But when you get to somebody like the Michelin Man, this was as we mentioned, before he was fat. Now he's not so fat, but what's the rationale?
Well, that's to the relevance issue. I think, there are a lot of health concerns making the news right now. And so everybody is...
I haven't eaten a tire in years.
It would be great if it worked that rationally, but I think people are worried about the images that they present. And beyond that, there's always sort of a push to make characters more sexy and more perfect, which actually runs counterintuitive to what makes an interesting character. The sort of chubby, out-of-shape character might be much more interesting because he struggles more than the sexy, in-shape character. But, there's a lot of interest in showing people the current cultural top of the line so that they'll feel that, what they're looking at is a perfect sexy symbol of what they want to be.
We're talking with Jim Hardison at Character LLC, a brand character development firm, about why companies change those mascots, some of them that have been around for many, many years. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get a caller on the line. David is with us from Norfolk, Virginia.
Hi. The one I was so disappointed about, and it was one of the early ones, was the Kool-Aid Man. They took the ice cubes out of his pitcher, and they made him more streamlined. And as a kid, I remember I was still fairly young when that happened. I remember being disappointed because he was a friend. when you're a kid, the Kool-Aid Man's one of the guys you want to hang out with. And it just seemed like that was one of the big mistakes they made. But that's just my two cents worth.
Well, you raise a good point, Jim Hardison. There are risks involved in changing that character.
There certainly are. People start to get really attached to the characters that they've grown up with. And, when it's an emotional attachment, it's not always particularly rational. So, and again, I think the thing that really attracts us to characters are the flaws and imperfections in them, not the ways that they're perfect, because that's how we see ourselves in them. So anytime you streamline a character to make it more attractive or more sexy, you run the risk that you will cut out the thing that made people connect with it.
David, thanks very much. And
quite comfortable. Take care.
Appreciate it. Let's go now with Doc. Doc's with us from Oakland, California.
Hey, how you doing, Neil?
All right.
Fantastic. I just wanted to comment about there's a brand called Sherman Williams Paint.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their logo is a giant bucket of red paint being poured over the earth. They haven't changed it yet. I don't think they're going to. The other comment would be about the restaurant chain Sambo's changing the name to Seasons for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and that's also a good point. Thanks for the call, Doc.
Thank you.
The Aunt Jemima makeover, for example, along the same lines as Sambo's change. Hello? Jim Hardison, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, so obviously there are reasons to change the name of Sambo's and reasons to remake the character of Aunt Jemima to remove an unfortunate...
There are cultural positions that change over time and, you know, things become politically incorrect or actually just offensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the paint being poured on the world, I think, in light of the concerns about pollution and chemicals changing the world, they might want to reconsider that. And obviously, Sambo's and Aunt Jemima, as you said, society has changed and the characters need to reflect that.
Yet Uncle Ben, I think, Uncle Ben is the same.
Yeah, and I think that has to do with the way in which they've presented the character. You know, there were definitely slave overtones in the Aunt Jemima character. I'm not sure whether those are as present in Uncle Ben, and they don't embody him as much. So Aunt Jemima appeared in commercials talking and, you know, as a functional character. And Uncle Ben seems to be more in the background. I'd actually have to do a more thorough study to tell you in more depth
sure.
How that character's lasted.
And just off the top of your head, can you name a makeover that has worked well and maybe one that hasn't?
The M&Ms is a makeover that's worked tremendously well. Those characters started at the birth of television advertising, and they were basically animated salesmen for the brand in their first 40 years of life. Then they underwent a change where they became sort of deeper, more interesting, engaging characters because the brand added some flaws and vulnerabilities to them. And now they're amongst the most popular characters, even, you know, when compared to entertainment characters.
Mm-hmm.
As far as ones that have worked poorly, I think Colonel Sanders, who was a real guy, took a brief turn as an animated character, which...
A breakdancing animated character.
Yeah, and since that had really nothing at all to do with either the original Colonel Sanders or much to do with what Kentucky Fried Chicken seemed to be about, I think the public was very unforgiving about that, and he's kind of a failed attempt to revitalize.
Let's get one final call in. Dennis. Dennis from San Francisco. Dennis, you there? I guess Dennis has left us, which gives the opportunity to Ed in Des Moines, Iowa.
Hi there. Just a quick question. I wondered what your guest might recommend for the Republicans and Democrats to modernize their images of the elephant and the donkey.
Ah.
That's a really interesting question. I think the elephant and the donkey are both interesting characters. It seems like what they really need to do, the parties, is get a better handle on what their story is so that the characters can live it more fully.
Well, these were creations of a political cartoonist, Thomas Nast, and I don't think the parties own those characters.
Yeah, they've sort of assigned by public consent as opposed to chosen by the parties themselves.
Well, if we lower the voting age anymore, maybe they can develop more kid-friendly characters that they might want to present to the potential voters. Ed, thanks very much for the phone call.
Sure. Thanks. Bye.
And Jim Hardison, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Jim Hardison is creative director at Character LLC, a brand character development firm, and he was with us from his office in Portland, Oregon. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Cummins.
I'm loving it. Who'd want to mock me? Rough around the edges, a tad bit sloppy. I'm loving it. My car's way too clean. If only I could start this fine piece of machine. I'm loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Are you loving it?